Hey there, kids. It's Taylor, obviously. Today we got my interview with Brian Beav Waddell of the DDP, and this is actually the last. He's actually the last member of the band that I did not interview, or that I did interview, I guess. So that's it. Might have Dev on again in a few months, but we'll see how things go from here. But yeah, he accepted my request, and we sat down in Surrey. Now we're outside of Starbucks in Surrey, so I apologize for a bit of the background noise. It's not too bad, and it's not bad, so kind of deal with it. But yeah, we talked about music and touring and our mutual love of bad jokes. So I apologize. I'm more stuttery than usual now, and in my and in the actual interview, because our in 24 hours our stupid building fire alarm went off 3 times, at 3 a.m., and then 11 p.m., then, that night, and then 2 a.m., so, yeah, I'm a little tired. I was falling asleep on the bus ride home, and kept accidentally hitting the guy sitting beside me, so that was fun. Yeah, Beav's a great dude, and, really funny. We laughed a lot, and I hope you enjoy this interview, guys. Thanks for listening.
That's all good, man.
That's awesome. Well, I did want to make sure that I get off the bat for thank you for doing this in the first place. I always had this weird impulse. I'm going to ask somebody for a thing, and it's going to be a no.
I know. But if you don't ask, you don't get, right?
So, exactly. Yeah. I love this joke from a comic named Mark Forward, and he's a Canadian guy, and this is gonna sound racist, but bassist. And I've always wanted to say that to a legitimate
person. I like it.
I know that you're I think Devin said in the Transcendence doc, you're the more relaxed element of the band. Everybody's uptight.
Yeah,
do you have a favorite joke, or one that always just kind of comes back to you?
You know what? When it comes to jokes, I have the worst. I have a terrible memory to begin with.
So oh yeah.
It's like remembering jokes for me is just like if I hear it, and then I'll be. It's like oh yeah, okay. Then I'm like I'm good. But like trying to remember a joke.
Yeah.
Terrible.
That's fair enough.
I like to make up my own.
If you think of one by the end, please tell me.
No, I had one. I made like a little meme of like, what do you call Geddy Lee in a spa? This is terrible. Yeah. It's spaghetti, right? It's terrible. That's my kind of joke.
But I love bad jokes.
See, me too. Those are my favorites.
Yeah, I wish. I read one of George Carlin's book, and he had the list of like all those stupid jokes.
The bad ones.
And there was like anti-climax. What my uncle was good at.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Yeah. Perfect.
You've had a brutal touring schedule this, like, pretty much since the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
How's it been kind of switching gears for you, like, when you do get those periods of home time?
It's so weird. I mean, it's like switching between being home and on the road is just like, it's you never get used to either one, because it's like if we're doing like a week over in Europe, and then a week at home, you get home and you're just like, okay, well, it takes about 2-3 days before you kind of feel normal again, and then you're getting ready to go out again. And when you do get out back on the road, you're just like, I forget how to do this. Why is there people here? This is so weird. So it's like, it takes like 2 days to get back into that, and there's just no flow. That's the weird thing for me, is like, I wish that it was like consistent and just
stay out there
and just go.
So, Jesus, that's always got to be such a a weird thing, but I thought of a way that you can kind of make that seem more consistent. Is you had another side project that you work on while you're home.
I do that, yeah.
And you could do it with Ryan and Dave and Chris Falago. And you could do it like same vein as Zimmer's Hole, and you could call it The Other Hole.
Yeah. I like it. Hey, it's not a bad idea.
I always like to mention this to the musicians that I interview. Another comic, I'll eventually drop the comic thing. Pete Corleone did this. He was learning to play guitar, and he said, like, if I didn't see other people doing it,
okay,
I wouldn't think it could be done.
Yeah. It's kind of the same thing with this whole thing. Is like, I remember, like, I've known Devin since high school, and being from Canada, you're just like, wow, we're never going to get anywhere. It's just like, this is pointless. And then I remember seeing him, like, on the cover of, like, Guitar World and stuff with Steve Vai and Jay Leno and stuff. I'm just like, what the hell? He did it. Oh, my God. What the hell, man? Like,
yeah.
So then I was like, kind of a kick in the ass. Just like, all right. Yeah.
It's
like,
to kind of get
you
going.
It is possible. Right?
Yeah. I kind of got that sense from, you posted a video of doing, like, the bass line from Rejoice while ago. And just, like, there's the touring element of, like, the career part, and then just the sheer technicality of actually just knowing how to do it. Is there anybody in that category who you watch and you go, holy shit, that's amazing, how do they do that? Because you're somebody who has actual skill.
I've always looked at Devin and been inspired by him, because it's like, I mean, when I first met him, I had just started playing guitar. Like, it was just like, it was very, maybe a month or two into it, and I knew nothing. I knew, like, smoke on the water, and it was, like, very poorly and wrong. And, you know, I always knew that I was never going to be as good as him, because it was like, he's playing Steve Vai stuff already, and it was like, holy man, you're like 14, and you're better than everybody that I listen to already, so.
Right.
I don't know, I always just kind of, like, go back to him, and, you know, he never stops working either, too, so it's a pretty good source of inspiration to get from him, right? And it's close, it's easy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know, I don't really have to look too far out of the circle.
That's good.
Yeah.
You posted a little while back that photo of, the photoshopped picture of Trump and Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
These nukes of hazard.
Yeah.
See, that's another one of those.
Totally, I saw that online, I was like, man, I gotta share that. It was like,
And you said, too, that you don't like politics, or you're not interested in that.
Well, it's funny. I actually do like politics, but not so much lately, because people, it's become a thing where it's like, okay, people want to have an opinion, which is totally fine. I totally think that everybody should have their own opinion.
Yeah.
But when they start saying it, it's just like, this person's an idiot, this person's stupid. It's just like, their whole point is not valid at that point, because you're putting down somebody else for not believing in what you believe in. So
there's just no element of debate to it.
That's the thing. It's just like, I love debating, and I love it when it's like done properly. And you know, it's deteriorated into just a pissing contest at this point. So
that's true.
Like, I don't want to participate in that. I'm not interested. I got better things to do with my time.
Yeah, that's true. I remember this was before, I think, you had your public page, and so you're just friending everybody on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And I put up a thing around the time of the Occupy Wall Street thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then there
was
the Vancouver one that was at the art gallery.
Yeah.
And I mentioned something about, like, I went down there during that time, and it was pissing rain out. And there were all, like, the Occupy activists there, and they had all, the tent city sort of set up in that square there. But there were all these homeless people around who didn't have that option of does that kind of thing get to you or annoy you?
It does, because it's like, you see people that are, like, genuinely homeless or whatever and have issues, and they're not going to get listened to because there's a bunch of people that want to just like be homeless on by their own choice, which is like
make an act out of it, kind of.
Well, that's the thing. It's like I don't necessarily agree with that, you know, point of view. But again, you know, it's like it's there's two sides to every coin, and if you want to live that way, who am I to say that you shouldn't? Right?
Yeah.
It's like it's I don't agree with it, but at the same time, it's not my choice. It's like my choices are mine, and whatever I decide to do is my own fault or my own success. So it's,
yeah.
You know, it's like I don't have time to worry about other people. Really, it's like it's kind of a pointless game anyway. It's just an endless circle where you're just chasing your own tail.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it kind of is. It's like
yeah.
It's like what? Why worry
no
about
end game?
Well, that's the thing. It's
yeah.
like you're never gonna change somebody's mind that doesn't want to have the change to begin with. So
yeah.
it's just like,
especially by calling them an idiot.
Well, that's
like
again,
that.
Yeah. It's like it's all in how you go about it too, right? If you want to have like an actual conversation or debate or whatever, then you might get somewhere, but people don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, they want to argue.
Well, with what you do contribute, and musically speaking, Transcendence, you guys released last year, and in the production of it and the writing, it focused a lot on more of the band contributing pieces or writing these parts, whereas a lot of it was written by Deb and on his own. How did that differ for you from Addicted or Epic Cloud, where you did contribute?
It's funny because I don't know, I always think that we did contribute. I think it was just he gave us a lot more freedom on this one, where it was like we were able to contribute a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Than I mean, like on Addicted and stuff, I wrote The Way Home. That was basically my song.
Yeah.
It's like, and it's like he listened to that and he was like, okay, I like the song. I can do something with that. And I don't have to change it too much. So it's like, I think if you have something that's right in the vein that he wants to do, he's all for it. But I think a lot of times he was like just scared to be like, okay, giving up control, you know?
Yeah.
And he said that before too. It's like he likes to have control of what he does, which is you should. It's like if it's your career and it's your name on the product, you want to know it's what
you
want to
keep.
Yeah,
your hands
you want to
feel
reins. Confident in what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
But I think you know it's we've been with him for what like 10, 15 years or something like that. So it's like we know his writing style and it's we know what he wants to do. So it's just a matter of writing stuff for him. So
yeah.
It's, and you know, it's like I said, we've come to the point where it's we can actually figure that out for ourselves and present stuff to him where he's like, oh yeah, okay, that'll work. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And even stuff, even there was a couple things that he was just like not super sold on and it would ended up getting used where it's just like, wow, that would have not happened in the past.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was nice to have that option, and I hope it happens again.
Yeah. Okay. With you guys winning the Juno for Z2, do you start to feel, because you mentioned earlier, you know, feeling that kind of anxiety about, or having that need the inspiration to see somebody doing mm-hmm. these things, do you feel a bit more confident? Was that kind of like a place that you're like, okay, I kind of get my place in the Canadian music scene?
That was a weird one for me, actually. I don't know how but anybody else feels about it, but for me, like, awards and art,
yeah.
they don't make sense. So I'm just like, how do you award art?
Yeah.
It doesn't, I've always had a weird time with that. And it's like, I remember watching, like, the Grammys and all this stuff, and I'm just like, I don't get it. I mean, it's nice that they award people for that, but
yeah.
I don't understand how it works, and it's just like, it seems like it's a more of a political thing than a...
Yeah, I remember reading, I think... It was Tragically Hip a bunch of years ago that they were boycotting the Junos because they said it was based too much on sales of the records.
Yeah,
rather than
I don't even know what it's based on.
Yeah.
It seems like it's just like, okay, whatever, man.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you came to that conclusion, but
yeah.
It's, I don't know, I mean, it's funny because like, I was very proud to get that, but on the other hand, I was like almost kind of embarrassed at the same time because like people that normally wouldn't have paid attention all of a sudden were just like, oh wow, that's really cool that you won that and stuff. And I'm just like, we've been doing this for 15 years. It's like, yeah, you never paid attention before. So.
It's not an overnight thing.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. That was a weird one for me where it's like, I don't know. I don't even have it in my house. It's at my restaurant. So,
Yeah.
I don't have any, no memorabilia in my house at all.
Really?
So it's like, I try to keep it separate. It's just like normal life and then this weird life on the side.
Yeah. Really, that's so weird to me. I know there are a lot of people who don't do that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've done very little and I keep shit.
Yeah. I keep a lot of stuff, but I'll put it in the restaurant because it's like a memorabilia place. That's where you're supposed to put it, right? It's like, put it on display, but if I have it at my house, I'm just like, I don't want to look at that. It's super weird.
Well, since you mentioned it, we'll talk about it. I guess we was going to anyway. You co-owned Sushi K in Poco with your buddy you've known for a long time, Keith Condensato.
Yeah.
How did the opportunity come up that you became co-owner?
That was another weird one. It was I went to school with him and Devin, Keith and Devin at the same school, and I'd lost contact with both of them actually, and I ended up getting back in contact with Dev, and that all kind of started happening. And then a buddy calls me up one day and he's just like, I'm at your buddy's restaurant. And I was like, I don't know anybody with a restaurant.
Yeah.
You're talking about, he's like, yeah, Keith Camisato. I was like, man, I haven't talked to him for like 15 years.
Wow.
So I went down, like probably the same week, went down and just like, dude, like, how's it going? And we just kind of started reminiscing, and I started hanging around there a lot. And his idea when he had opened it was he wanted like a rock and roll sushi place, and it was like, well, dude, I'm in a band, and you like the band, and it's like, let's try and merge this where I can kind of bring this element more into what you do. And he was just like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. It's kind of morphed.
How long has it been open?
I think it's been about 6 years now.
Okay.
5-6 years, yeah. I got involved maybe about a year and a half, 2 years ago, somewhere around there.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's been growing fast, too. It's like, it's really good. It's like, for being in the middle of nowhere, people are coming coming from all over the world to come and check it out, which is like bizarre.
Yeah, I remember there was a Toshi from Japan. So I don't really have much of an excuse for not having gone yet.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't?
Not yet.
Yeah, we should have done it there, man. Okay. We'll do one next time we'll go there.
Yes.
There we go.
I love all the photos and the videos that you put up of your bass and all your pedals and everything.
Yep.
I mentioned I dabble in I'm not good at anything.
Me
but, but I dabble here and there. One thing I really want to do, and I said this to Dave yesterday, I just want to follow a band around. I want to press buttons, make things light up.
Yeah.
Turn knobs and stuff. And you got a Kiesel bass recently, right?
Yeah.
5-string?
Yeah.
That thing's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's like I didn't really know anything about the company.
Yeah.
And they got in contact with me a couple weeks ago, and they're just like, would you be interested in trying one out? I was like, yeah, send it out. They sent it out. Was there within a couple days? And I was like, damn, dude. Like,
wow.
Yeah. So it's like, I didn't know what to expect. Plugged it in. Sounds great. I haven't used it in rehearsal yet, but
You mostly use Spectre, Tour Spectre, right?
Yeah.
And your kind of pedal setup has a lot of dark glass stuff,
yeah,
right?
Mostly dark glass.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think having that gear and kind of all those options, does that help you write? Like, as you know, beyond the convenience of performing and being able to do this mm-hmm. stuff, does it help you write? Do you have an emotional connection when you hear certain things?
It's funny, like most of that stuff, like I'll take my basses home, mm-hmm. but I very rarely take my pedals and stuff home. Because I'll plug it into my computer and just use like plugins and stuff and just use that stuff for home. But there's something about having that live rig, like coming through a massive PA where you're just like it crushes everything. Like there's nothing that can even stand to it. It's like guitars, keyboards, drums, like whatever. Good luck. I was like, I'm on one and I'm crushing you. It's like, you know, and then when it comes to the PA too, it's just like,
that's insane.
It's there's no, I don't know, like coming from a guitar background, and it's like, I mean, I used to love the sound of guitar coming through a PA, which is like, man, that sounds badass. And then you hear a bass like done proper and you're just like, whoa, okay, well, okay, that's nothing compared to that. It's just like shakes everything. It's perfect.
I saw last week Dead Cross and Secret Chiefs open for them.
Yeah.
And they had bass player who was nuts, but I remember the like their main keyboard player would hit this note that was so low you couldn't really hear it. But standing on the metal barrier you could feel it.
That's exactly what, like, we have some pretty low tunings too, right? So it's like you hit one of the low strings and it's coming through there, so that's awesome.
That's sweet. You said a while ago that the next Even Light record is mostly done.
Yeah.
What are your updates on that? Or you want to do a bit more work on it.
It's funny because I had it done. The record was basically done. We were getting ready to go in and record it, and then we didn't like the vocals. It was us and a couple other people that I was talking to. We decided that it was like, okay, the vocals aren't working. And a couple of the songs were like, could have been used more work. So we stripped it down. I got a new band. I don't want to say who it is yet.
Sure.
We're still working on it. But we kind of took the best of those songs and started working on it like completely from scratch again. So it's like, I think we're, I don't know, we're looking at hopefully next year to have something done. But it's a work in progress. And it's a funny thing because I could have put it out and it would have been good, but I want to make it great. You know, it's like I don't want it to just be just because I can make a record.
It's not quite what you want.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like every record that I've made, there's always been at least one song where I'm just like, ah, that's not good. It's like, I wish I could have done better. You know, so I want to have every song on it be like, man, I'm stoked. I am so stoked on that. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but yeah, that's my goal anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it will happen, but yeah.
What's it like putting together this second band when your time is so taken up with touring and it's maybe not your
focus? One of the biggest problems is, you know, I mean, I'm almost 50 now, and most of the people that I play with are about the same age, so it's like, if they're playing in a band that's doing something, they're busy like I am. Or if they're at home working a job, they have like families and all these other commitments. So it's like trying to put something together at this age is just like, oh my God, man, that's a nightmare. It's, you know, just even trying to get a rehearsal is be a bit of a chore. So it's, I mean, in the end, it's worth it, but it's not easy.
Yeah,
it seems like it's a lot harder than it used to be too. It's like when I'm in my 20s. It's like, nobody had anything to do, and they were like, let's go rehearse.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll jam for 4 hours, sure. Yeah. Like, now we're just like, I don't know, man. Sleep.
Sleep is just too good sometimes.
It really is, yeah.
Especially when your fucking alarm goes off twice.
Yeah, exactly, right, yeah.
What is your writing process like?
Can we say this on that?
I
smoke a lot of weed.
Oh, yeah.
That's basically it. I'll just like get high as shit, grab a guitar, and just like piddle around until I find something. I'm like, oh, I like that riff, and just like mess around with it and throw it down, record something, get a quick recording of it, and then just like if I'm inspired to work on it that day, I'll just like go nuts, and if not, then it's just I want to get the idea down and come back to it when I'm actually like ready to work on it.
So
even like last night, I was just fooling around with something. I was like, I gotta record that. Next thing I know, it's like 3 a.m. I'm just like, I'm still recording this stupid thing.
Gosh,
it's a stupid thing. It's like, I don't know. Once you start, you can't stop. So it's like, normally.
Well, when you write, do you primarily write on guitar or bass?
Mostly guitar, yeah. It's like, okay. I started on guitar, and I've always written on guitar. when I find when I write on bass, it's like it's not, it's interesting, but it's not what I would, not a style that I would normally want to play.
So okay.
I find that I write more stuff where I'm just like, okay, that's what I want to hear on guitar.
Yeah. So it's easier to think of the, like the kind of whole element to, as opposed to the support of it.
Yeah, I think so. I think when I'm writing on bass, I think it tends to end up more rhythmically kind of a thing, and I'm not super into that. I'm more into like just Van Halen and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Kiss, and it's like I'm not really super into like the, you know, like the, I don't know what you technically call it. I don't know. Bass seems weird to write on for me. I don't. The ideas just really don't work for me in a band situation.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Well, geez, I was gonna ask another question, but I think you kind of answered it. That. Well, Dev put you on bass for DTP.
Yeah.
And now that you've kind of adjusted to it and become more familiar, do you prefer playing it, or do you still go back to guitar?
It's both. It's still it's both, because it's like I was saying earlier, there's like something really commanding about playing bass, where it's like when you have a great sound and it's just punishing coming through, it's like, well, it's not gonna get any better than that.
So. Yeah.
But then on the guitar, you can write like a lot more melody, I find, and it's like that's like what I like to hear in my music. It's like nice melodies and stuff like that. So it's like I find on a guitar it's just easier to write on.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's like I find even like switching to bass actually made me a better musician too, because it's I started learning more about drums and you know, like actually locking in with what he's doing and learning what he's playing, as opposed to just going like listening to where the kick and the snare was and say, oh, okay, well, I'm just keeping time. It's like now I know what he's actually playing and trying to like mimic what he's doing on the drum kit on the bass.
Right.
So it's like it's a totally different beast, and it's like I thought when I did switch, I was thinking, oh, this is gonna be easy, right? It's the bass, it's super easy.
Yeah,
but it's man, it's like it's way different. Like it's a totally different animal, and it's like I found like I was always a down picker on guitar, and it's like even on bass I do that too, but it's like I always find like my right arm is like, whoa, you gotta power the strings way more, man. My arm hurts. It's like, this sucks.
Yeah.
So that's I don't know. They're totally different animals. And it's like, I don't know. I love them both.
Yeah.
It's like
I learned bass in elementary school. I had to do band. I think the only song I really ever learned to play was Louie Louie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was four notes.
Yeah, that's pretty much my whole catalog. Four notes.
Ed, too, you mentioned about the drums, that thing that you posted about, it was like the first rule of drums, it's like if you fuck
oh,
up, look back at the bass
line. Oh, yeah. It's screwing up, yeah. Like, Ryan's, it's funny, Ryan never, he very rarely screws up.
Yeah.
So it's actually funny to post that, because this is just like, hey, you're not going to screw up anyway, it's going to be me.
Yeah. How was the vegan food on the tour? Did you ever get your McDonald's that you're looking for?
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah. There was one festival in Germany, and it was all vegan food. I was like, I don't think I ate that day. I was like, nah, I'm good. Sorry.
It's so funny. I went hanging out with a friend of mine a couple of years ago. We went to this vegan place downtown, and I'm like, yeah, sure, I could do it. And then the next year, oh, let's go to whatever the name of the place was. Like, yeah, sure. And then I realized, oh, fuck, it's the same place.
Yeah, like, oh, damn it, man. Was it good?
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, okay. It's that's a thing. It can be okay, but it's like, it's generally not full of flavor.
Yeah, a little bland. Can be.
Yeah.
But not like sushi can.
I know.
I've just from what I see of it.
Yeah, dude.
It looks really cool. And what was the thing that you guys just put out?
Sorry?
What was the one that you guys just added to the menu?
The Salmon Ray Vaughan.
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't tried that one either yet.
Yeah,
he just made that like when I was gone on the last tour, and I got back and he sent me a picture. He's like, what are we going to call this? I was like,
yeah.
I don't know. Salmon Ray Vaughan. But I'm stoked to try that one. It looks pretty good.
Okay. You've got one big show for sure, and then a few other dates in Europe.
Yep.
Of course, the Plovdiv with Ocean Machine by request set. How's it been playing, like, because you guys have done some really big shows.
Yeah.
This is like Retinal, By a Thread, Albert Hall.
Yeah.
Do you kind of like know, how different is it from just a regular show?
Usually quite different, because usually we're not very, I shouldn't say this, but we're not as prepared as we normally would be, because we're out on the road and like doing your normal set, and you don't really get a chance to practice the stuff, the different stuff
for
that you're
the special
do.
Show. Yeah.
So you're just like now we're, I think we have like 3 weeks to learn the set basically, and it's like, I don't know that song at all. Never played that one before, so
yeah.
It's like, but I think that's the only difference to it, really. It's like you're a little bit more nervous because you're not super comfortable with the songs, but it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. Once it starts going, and it's like, all right, whatever.
Okay, I know the feel of this. Yeah.
But yeah, the first initial hit's just like, oh god.
I actually went to London to see Retinal, first and so far only time overseas.
Okay.
And honestly, I mean, you guys had done By a Thread by that point. But it didn't seem like you had that, you know, unpreparedness or nervousness, because everything went transitioned pretty well.
It's a thing. I say that we're not, you know, that's why I hesitated to say that it's like not prepared, you know?
As prepared as you'd like to be.
Yeah, that's a thing, because I think everybody's like, everybody in the band's pretty on what they want to be pro, and it's like they don't want to look like an idiot, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, I think it's, we put a lot more pressure on ourselves than most people do, and it's, even if you have like a bad show, you talk to people after that, it's like, I didn't even notice that, like, I had no idea. Like, really?
It was like, fun.
Well, that's the thing, it's like people listen with their eyes most of the time, so it's, as long as you portray that you're not dying inside.
If you're not
going, oh my god, it's like, I don't know. It's like, it's about being confident, I guess. It's just looking the part.
Even if you can fake it, you eventually will.
Yeah, once it fake it till you make it.
Yeah. That's what I've done for 25 years.
Me
so.
Too, man.
You mentioned earlier Ace, Kiss and Ace Frehley.
Yeah.
He was the one who made you want to play music.
Absolutely,
right?
Ace Frehley, man. Yeah. It's like the first time I saw him, I was just like, what is that? That's rad, man.
Yeah. What would you listen to before that, or
John Denver?
Really?
Yeah, dude, I was like 6 or 7 when I first listened to that. It was like my neighbor used to babysit us, and he'd bring over these Kiss records. He was in a band. And he was like super into Kiss, and he'd bring these records over, and I was like, "What the hell is that? I need to hear. Put it on."
Yeah.
As soon as I heard it, I was like, "Sold. Get it. I need it." So,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you listening to these days?
These days, a lot of them, like Mastodon, Gojira.
Yeah.
new bands. It's like, I'm finding less and less that I'm listening to newer bands lately. It's, I think I'm getting old too.
Yeah.
It's like I'm just kind of losing it. Like, I always wondered that when I was like younger. I was like, how do old people like not listen to music? And now I'm getting older. I'm like,
it's not
care.
Good.
Yeah. It's not good anymore.
That's fair enough. I had something in my head, but I'm losing it. Like I said, I'm very tired.
Welcome
today.
To my world.
Well, what do you guys have scheduled? Well, I guess you don't have any shows after, I think it's October 1st or something. It's your last show?
Probably.
I think so. I'll get my producer on it and I'll check it.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure
Germany, I think, right?
There'll be something.
Yeah. Do you have any plans for Evenlight or any other things going on?
If we do get some time off, I think we have some time off. I think October is pretty easy, other than, I think, Japan. And in November, I don't think we're doing anything, so I can have some time during that period. I've already talked to the guys, and we're... just waiting for somebody to get back off holidays, and then we're going to start that. So probably next week.
Yeah. That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I'm actually was not as prepared as I wanted to be.
No, yeah, I'm a dude not sleeping. But there's
a bit of that.
Yeah, it might help.
And now with you, I've had all the members of the band on, so
sick.
I really do appreciate you coming on the
man,
show.
Sorry, it took like a year to meet.
Well, fuck. I mean, I didn't like. You guys had that schedule, and you're like, you have 6 days at home, and then gone for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not gonna take it when you have 5 days.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I was looking at that too, and I was just like, this isn't gonna happen.
Yeah.
So good luck.
Yeah. Well, thank you, man. Thank you
for worries.
Helping make it happen, and thanks for taking the time out to do this with me.
Awesome.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah.